Welcome to AIM Hometown Innovations Podcast. This podcast is designed to offer insights, best practices, and innovative solutions for the challenges facing Hoosier cities and towns. Each edition will offer ideas and inspiration while showcasing the talent and commitment of Indiana's local leaders. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to the AIM Hometown Innovation Podcast. I'm Matt Greller with AIM. Today's guest really needs no introduction. He's the mayor of Columbia City, Mayor Ryan Daniel. Welcome to the program, Mayor.
Yeah, happy to be here. I'm excited to be a part of this great series. I've really enjoyed listening to the different podcasts we've had. The Mayor's Institute one was quite enjoyable and entertaining to listen to. So I will not be that entertaining, I'm sure, but we'll strive for greatness here.
I doubt it. I'm going to keep the intro brief because we're going to get into some things here later on that sort of speak to your past and how you were brought up in this role. I think it'd be really interesting. But first off, you were one of the first mayors, I think, that really embraced social media. You do a great job of keeping folks up to date on what's happening in Columbia City, but you're also a pretty avid poster about whether it's Indiana basketball, Indiana IU basketball, or the Colts maybe. So maybe talk a little bit about why social media is important to you, and then we can get into what a terrible season IU is having and maybe the Colts being on an uptick.
Sure. Yeah. So obviously, let's go back for a second. When I came into office, my predecessor was 35-ish years older than me and definitely had a kind of different way of communicating, more, I would say, an older style of communicating with the public through newspaper and other mechanisms. But I kind of came in at a time where there was a lot more transition over to social media. So trying to harness and utilize the abilities of Facebook and other mechanisms to get information out to the public in a quick way, as well as creating that connection where they can ask me direct questions and having open, transparent government with the citizens, I think is what endears them, number one. But number two, I think it builds trust when individuals struggle to understand why decisions were made the way they were, or why this problem hasn't been solved right away. The fact that they can ask their mayor directly, and they can, whether it's on my Lunch with the Mayor program or whether it's a direct message on Facebook Messenger, it gives that opportunity. I will say, I've struggled to transition to the TikToks and the other things like that. I'm not there yet, but I will say we do have a great following on our Facebook accounts. We've done more on our Instagram. I do have more of my personal stuff, yes, on Twitter. But I will say, I think utilizing and harnessing the power of social media, instead of just writing it off as it's a negative thing, trying to utilize and harness it and provide an opportunity to have that direct interaction sets municipal government apart from higher levels of state and federal government.
Those are great points, Mayor. You may not even know this, but one of your colleagues down in Noblesville, Mayor Chris Jensen, I've heard him talk more than once about sort of following your lead on use of social media, and he does a great job with it too. So I think that's been great for you to sort of serve as an example of how to use it as a tool rather than be afraid of social media and its uses going forward.
Well, we do have this balance, right? As locals, we do have the ability and the necessity of grocery shopping with our constituency, right? Going to restaurants with our constituency, going to the gas pump with our constituency. And so I do think that we have that more open line of communication with the people we serve than maybe other levels of government. But I just really feel like it's a way in which we can utilize both the humanness of us as well as the political side of us to be able to really explain and kind of in some ways do a peek behind the curtain of how their local government is running. And again, why we make the decisions we make and why maybe their issue is not as big of a priority as these other things that are blowing up at the moment. So I think it's just a way
Yeah,
of
that's
utilizing that tool.
great perspective to have without question. Mayor, I mentioned earlier that I've known you for a while now, and I've known a good deal about you. I did know you went to Anderson University. I
Proud
don't
Raven.
think I know.
Proud Raven.
I don't think I knew, though, that you were the student body president.
No.
I definitely didn't know you were on the debate team, and I didn't know that you were part of the choral program either.
Yeah.
So, A, why have we never had you sing at one of our events? And B, more seriously, why did these experiences and how did these experiences help you prepare for your time in office?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So the first answer is that while I enjoy singing, I don't know that I'm at the solo range anymore. I'm not sure that I'm geared up for that anymore. But I think the path that I've kind of taken has really prepared me in a lot of ways for the position that I'm in now. And a lot of it comes down to being in the right place at the right time and or taking risk and chances and trying to do things that are unique and creative for me. So when I, so gosh, yes, Anderson University, that was something. I actually started off at AU as a music education major. I wanted to be a choir teacher. Again, going back to that music thing, started there and decided after about my first year that I didn't really want to, number one, write lesson plans every day. Number two, my hands on the piano, the right and the left, can't do different things at different times. That tends to lend itself to maybe not being so great at being a music teacher. But furthermore, I always kind of had this passion for politics. I just thought it would be at the federal level. And then coming out of Anderson, going to the state and having the opportunity to work with Okra really showed me that municipal government is where my heart is. It's where my passion is, you know, especially rural local government. I think it provided me a lot of opportunities, and the student body president part of that is, I think, where I got to really figure out that I love being the chief executive and being in that leadership role, being able to steer and guide where our programs, policies, procedures, and projects are going. So yeah, thanks for doing a little bit of a deep dive on me before this podcast.
That's a cool answer. You know, I think some more of your history that maybe some more folks will know and remember is you were elected in 2012. Well, you were elected in 2011, took office in 2012, and you came on board on the scene, so to speak, with some really cool group of other mayors in their 20s as well, very young for the most part by mayor standards here in the state of Indiana. You know, Blair Milo in LaPorte was in her 20s when she was elected with you. Chris McBarnes, some guy named Pete Buttigieg was in his 20s. And I think you allowed Joe McGinnis to be a part of your group, even though he was just north of 30 at the time. You're the last one standing, if you will, in office. And you don't seem to be slowing down. You're still pushing hard in the city of Columbia City. You're involved statewide in a variety of ways that we'll talk about here in a little bit. Why have you continued to make the decision to serve in the community, and why has it been advantageous, I guess, for you to start so young in your career to do that job?
Well, I kind of see myself as a bit of an underachiever based on the list of people you just said. I mean, I'm no Secretary of Transportation at the federal level, or, you know, running a wildlife fund out in Wyoming or wherever McBarnes is now. But I mean, ultimately, I really felt like there was an opportunity to utilize my passion. And you know, when I think of careers and when I think of what, this is going to sound weird, but kind of what makes my heart flutter, if you will, it really is this kind of work. It's the opportunity to drive down the street and see, you know, I guess, fingerprints of things that we've done along the way, literally every day between City Hall and my house. And so that is something that I really, until I got into this job, I didn't realize how much of a passion place it was for me, but that definitely ended up being the case. Starting young obviously helped give me a couple of different edges, I think, over people that were more senior of me. And that would be that I think people just expected me to screw up for the first couple of years because I was young, and they gave me a pass in a lot of ways, because they said, "Oh, this kid that we've known since he was knee high to a grasshopper is somebody who, you know, who is excited and he wants to do a lot of things," and so I think I had the ability to mess up a little bit along the way because they expected that as a young person. But I think the interesting thing for me, and what I've told others that are, you know, younger coming into this role, is that when I ran the first time, I fully expected to get pushback from that, let's say, 60 plus plus generation, if you will, and have a lot of acceptance from the younger. And actually, it was opposite when I ran. I got a lot more pushback from my generation, who was saying, "Well, I don't think I could be mayor. What makes you think you can be mayor?" Whereas the older population was like, "Man, we are so excited about new blood and what you're going to do, and the kind of energy you're bringing to the office and the energy you're bringing to the city." So that was kind of a unique thing that I wasn't expecting when I threw my name into the hat, if you will. But I do think having that perspective of having the fact that we have multiple generations that are going to go after me, that I'll actually be able to see, and I'll actually be able to watch our community develop. And last thing, maybe on this topic, I'll say is, when I became mayor, my daughter, we only have one daughter, and my daughter was not born at that time. So it gave me a little more flexibility to kind of get used to being mayor before having a child to deal with and handle and be a part of our schedule. But I think it brings me a different perspective than others when I'm talking about trying to keep my daughter here versus trying to keep my grandkids here. And that's not to say it's better or worse. I think it's a different perspective for somebody who has a 9-year-old that's in the school system and is doing extracurriculars and going to the park and the swing sets and all those kind of things. It just sets a different, I guess, platform, if you will.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I would argue, Mayor, that you're the leader in the clubhouse of those younger mayors we mentioned from 2012. You're still in the best job in local government for
That is
sure,
true.
in government and in the state.
That is true.
Along those same lines, I guess you this past August were elected to serve as second vice president of our organization. And for those that don't know, that means, barring some unforeseen circumstance, he will move up the chairs and in a couple of years be president of the organization, which we're really excited about and thankful for you putting yourself out there and to take on those extra responsibilities. What's that mean to you? And then secondly, how can we use your platform to help all these newly elected officials now that are 6 weeks into their jobs as clerk treasurers, mayors, new council members around the state, to get them up to speed and make sure they're engaged on our advocacy efforts and a number of other things that we do within the organization?
Well, I'm obviously really excited to be on this kind of the executive team, if you will. I've been on the board of directors for quite some time, and I've really loved being a part of everything that AIM stands for. You all on this podcast know how I'm not afraid necessarily to tell you some of the thoughts and opinions I have with things, but ultimately, I have truly valued the fact that AIM has not only educated me to make me a better mayor, but has forced me out of my comfort zone at times to go and testify in front of legislative committees and to, you know, champion things like making pseudoephedrine a behind-the-counter type of prescription and to do those kind of things. So I think that's what's been really positive and why I'm really honored to be able to be a part of this kind of leadership team. I think for the newly elected officials, I can remember being 6 months into the job and sitting at my desk and saying, "I know I should be doing something, but I have no clue what I'm supposed to be doing at this moment." And now I don't have a moment to really sit and chill and think a lot of times. And so, you know, obviously those voids, that time frame, you fill it in. I mean, I tell people one of the greatest parts about being the mayor is that I can choose what we're gonna do in the community. That it's hard to describe that, but you know, if we say, "Hey, we want to put an emphasis on revitalizing neighborhoods," then I can put the budget in place to make that happen. If I say we're gonna focus on upgrading our parks, I can put the money toward doing that, or trails or streets or curbs, sidewalks, whatever the case is. But I think that's what's so unique about this job. And as municipal officials, whether you're a town council member or a clerk, city clerk, or whatever the case is along the way, I think you have the ability to really set an agenda in a lot of ways, right? The people elected you to serve on their behalf, right? We don't have that truly direct democracy. We have more of a representative democracy. And so the opportunity for people to give their opinions along the way is important. But ultimately, people elected you and trusted you to do the job and to serve them. And so with the newly elected officials, it's an exciting time, especially in these first couple of months, because if you are brand new to local government, you're just drinking out of a fire hose for a year and a half. If you're transitioning to a new position, then it's really learning what that new position is, but being able to thrive in that. But man, at the end of the day, working as a team is really what I would stress more than anything else. We are literally, as we're recording this, on the heels of my city retreat that's coming up at the end of this week. And it's a time where we just vision and dream and talk about the departments and where they're going and the projects they have and the equipment needs. And if you work as a team, your city, county, or excuse me, city, town, county, whatever government is going to be very, very successful. If you don't work as a team, then it's hard to get anything accomplished, honestly. So that kind of went a different direction than you asked, but still, generally, that's kind of where I'm at.
That's a great answer. I think perfect segue here into our last topic. You mentioned earlier sort of a passion for more rural communities in the state of Indiana. You know, as you know, Mayor, the vast majority of communities in Indiana have a rural nature to them, whether it's a city or a town or whatever it might be. It's most are very rural in nature, and most are relatively small, at least by community standards on a national scale. Our communities in Indiana seem to be a little bit smaller. You started out your professional career working at OCRA, the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, which I hope everyone listening to this today knows what an incredible resource that is for communities across the state on a wide variety of projects and programs that are available. Let's just wrap up there, though. How did that experience and your sort of interest in rural governance, if you will, help lead you to do what you're doing today and what you just talked about with your retreat coming up later this week and all those kinds of things?
When I started at Okra, so let's go back. After college, my first kind of summer out of college, I was a governor's fellow for Governor Daniels, and had a really great experience working in Department of Administration, and then transitioned to Okra and had 2 quarters, if you will, with the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, and then transitioned to the governor's office for the last quarter of that fellowship. But being at Okra just really opened my eyes to a lot more of just the interesting nature of rural Indiana. And what people don't understand, I think, about rural Indiana is there's a lot of cornfields, and yeah, there's some hills down in the south, and yeah, there's, you got the kind of region up north. You got some different things there, but ultimately, it is made up of a ton of different communities that have different flavors and different ideologies and different styles. I kind of go back to Becky Skillman, who was my boss at Okra, if you will. And one of the things she always said was, when you've been to one small rural community, you've been to one small rural community, meaning that they all have their own different flavor. And so while problems may be similar across the board, and issues may be, shareable, if you will, there are differences between each of these small communities. And whether small means, 100 people, or small means 50,000 people, we all use the word small community because it's, I think, more of a mindset than an actual number. If you think about it, a lot of mayors and clerk treasurers and city council members that have those 50,000 plus communities, they still say, hey, we have a small community feel, because people know each other and they care about each other. And I think that's really more the Hoosier hospitality piece than anything else. But I do think having that background, working with cities, towns, counties, townships, Main Street boards, gosh, just volunteers in the unincorporated areas, things like that really equipped me in a lot of ways to be in this position. But further for AIM's purpose, it gave me, I think, a really good perspective of how broad and vast amount of communities, different sizes and types and personalities, the different communities that AIM serves each and every day. That takes a lot of flexibility by AIM. So kudos to you and all of your staff, because I know just serving 10,000 people in Columbia City is challenging enough, not to mention the, hundreds of town council members and city council members, and man, these mayors are challenging at times as well. So ultimately, I think Indiana is just made up of this beautiful quilt of lots of different communities that, and frankly, lots of different officials that care deeply, deeply about their current community, as well as the future of their community and how we attract people to continue what great things we have in our state and certainly in our community. So yeah, great experience at Okra. And I would echo everything you just said. If you're a rural community, especially if you're a rural community, you need to know about Okra, find your community liaison, have a conversation with them about what programs and opportunities they provide. If you're a larger community, there are still programs that Okra has that you're eligible for. So take a look at those. And by the way, side note, if you have Main Street community, if you have a Main Street organization or you don't yet, that's better to contact Okra and talk about Main Street as well. A lot of great programs there, but again, working really well with AIM and the different opportunities there.
Mayor, your responses have been thoughtful as always. Appreciate you taking the time to join us on our Hometown Innovation Podcast. Look forward to seeing you soon, and I'm sure you'll be on another episode before long here on the podcast. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.